We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, apparently, here's a... I don't know if I can trust NBA Central. I don't know. The Dunk Central.
Yes, you can trust Central. Okay. Make sure there's an R in there.
There's an R. Yeah, not Central.
The
Knicks are expected to show interest in Ime Udoka and Jason Kidd, while Johnny Bryant and Jay Wright are considered presumed candidates.
I wouldn't worry about it.
When it comes to available coaches, longtime Villanova coach Jay Wright, who has long expressed a reluctance to make the leap to the NBA, and Cavaliers assistant Johnny Bryant quickly emerged as presumed likely candidates. Two head coaches who are not currently available, but said to have interest, the Knicks. According to league sources, Dallas, Jason Kidd, and Houston's Ime Udoka.
Well, too bad. Too bad, so sad. Yeah. We got contracts. This isn't college football where you can just steal coaches whenever you want, and coaches can just say, I think I'm going to go. Sorry, here's $40 million. Never leave us ever. Please, Ime, never. Aggies, don't try to give our – well, Aggies, if you want, you can give Ime a contract extension, I guess, to keep him with the Rockets. I mean, maybe if Ime says, I don't know, maybe I will go to New York into the Knicks. Do you think the Aggies will add $20 million a year on his contract?
Yeah.
I think there will be at least a little, like, they'll get a little, because you know they get jumpy when they hear coaches may leave them. And if there's Aggies who are Rockets fans, they could say, guys, we've got to pony up and keep Ime in Houston. Let's give him $26 million extra a year. Maybe it happens. I see the Aggies do that stuff all the time. Did it with Kevin Sumlin twice, with Jimbo twice, you know. Let's kick in a little something for Ime. Make sure he doesn't leave.
Ime's not going anywhere because that would be tampering. Knicks talk to him. It would be he's not available.
It would take trades. They would have to trade picks.
Yeah, they would have to trade for him.
Your draft picks have no value in this league. Forget it.
Yeah.
What if they traded us Jalen? What if we traded Van Vliet's and we got Jalen? What if we traded Brunson and we got Jalen Brunson and they got Fred Van Brunson?
Well, they could get Jalen Green. We could trade Jalen for Jalen.
Well, I want to trade Brunson's. Their Brunson's better than our Brunson.
We don't have a Brunson.
Yeah, we got Jalen Van Brunson.
Well,
only the broke version.
Well, we got Van Vliet. He's not Van Brunson.
Yeah, he's the same chubby kind of point guard. What are you talking about?
He's
same
not
body
as good.
Types. Just left-handed,
sure,
just doesn't shoot as good.
I don't know. Well, there is that. I'm not
That's what
sure
I'm saying.
You know.
I Jalen, want to trade for their Van Brunson, not ours.
Jalen Brunson is a little better than Fred Van Vliet.
Yes.
I don't think the Knicks
Thank
are
you.
Doing that.
Would you do the trade if you could get Brunson?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yes. And if the Rockets had gotten a number one pick, then we'd get Cooper Flagg, too. Okay?
So, yeah. So here's the deal. Yesterday, Tom Thibodeau was fired by the Knicks. And as you know, he was there for five seasons. They really liked the improvement last offseason. Leon Rose, who was formerly his agent and then became like the Knicks president, I think, or GM, I guess, whatever their title is. He's the same guy who formerly the agent of Tom Thibodeau gave him a contract extension last summer for 3 years. And how did Tom Thibodeau repay them? By taking the Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals, and he was fired. And so now the big fight in New York is between, was it Leon Rose that fired him or James Dolan that fired him? How much did Karl Anthony Towns have to play in this? Did he have anything to do with this? So there's a big old, you know, typical New York stuff. They'll just have to deal with that themselves. I don't care. I'm over here sipping tea. I don't care. My name's Paul, and that's between y'all. So I don't care what happens as long as they don't mess with my guy. But I do think that the Knicks, just like the Yankees, think their boo-boo doesn't stink. And so they think that they can get whatever they want. And I'm sure they do want to get their hands on our head coach. It ain't happening. In basketball, it's not happening.
They think we're the sorry people.
They think we're the sorry people. Maybe you didn't check. We're number two in the West, and the West is the best.
So listen, this is a James Dolan deal. James Dolan is the worst. I don't know. It's really tough.
There's some bad owners, but James Dolan has been an issue over there.
New York has got two of the worst.
Remember, John, when he was firing guys left and right every year?
Yeah. No. James Dolan is awful, awful, awful. And now that the Commanders have cleaned it up, the Jets and the Knicks, how about New York fans, have two of the worst owners in all of sports?
Yep.
I mean, it's – and James Dolan, the guy just took you with a deficient defender in Cat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He just took you to the Eastern Conference Finals,
yeah.
Had the whole city finally after years of doldrum. The Knicks have been a terrible, terrible organization.
25
that have been
years.
Irrelevant.
It's 25 been irrelevant. Years they haven't been in the Eastern Conference Final. 25 years.
And finally they get there and they fire him. You want to talk about a mess.
And even if it's because you say, I mean, even if you say we didn't like the fact that he didn't play his bench or whatever, you have that conversation in the offseason. If you're the GM or the owner, you have that conversation with them and say, this is what I want. You don't fire him. So I don't, you know, we don't know everything that went on behind the scenes, but this is a really stupid look. And so now the Knicks are going to have to find, you know, their next head coach, but it isn't going to be Udo. And I think Ime Udoka, number one, Houston, there's financial advantages from a tax standpoint. There's just no way around it. Financially, you make a tremendous, even with high property taxes, you make so much more in Houston than in Texas in general than you're going to make in New York. It's not even remotely close. And while it may not matter as much for athletes who are making $30 and $40 million a year, you know, they're going to get a lot of taxes, take a lot out of it, but they're still sitting really, really pretty. For a head coach in the NBA, that's a big chunk of money. There's a big, big difference financially. So that's one. Number two, Houston has, like, Ime knows he can win here and win at a high level. This Ime's got a chance to do what he didn't get to finish his what he started with Boston. He had that 1 year. He didn't get to finish what he started. Now he's in Houston, and he's loaded his team up with the kind of guys he likes. Like, he's got the kind of guys he likes. So this is one of the best places to be in the NBA. I truly believe that because you have an owner who's got some money. You've got a media base that's not a harsh media base. You've got mild winters, which matters to NBA guys. And, you know, you've got it financially, it's for a head coach, it's a good spot. But you got young talent. You got young talent, and you've got commodities to maneuver.
I'd be interested
around.
To hear Ime talk about whether or not I'd be interested to hear what he really, really thinks about this team and whether it's a championship team or not. I'd be interested to hear.
You mean as it sits? I don't think they're a championship team as it sits.
No, as it sits now. What needs to be done? Who needs to be brought in?
You think
in?
It's far away? I don't think it's far away.
I don't think it's that far away, but I think it needs a big piece. I do think it needs a big piece. I think it needs a it does. It needs a star. It needs a star. And they don't have that. And they struggle in the half court at times. That it's just brutal. Listen, they were the number two seed, but they were a huge underdog. They were an underdog to Golden State. There was a play-in
team. They were a 2-1 favorite
over
Houston. And Houston outplayed them.
And lost.
To be fair, Houston didn't know how to win. Well, Jalen Green was terrible. We know that. But Houston didn't know how to win games in the fourth quarter. And that's what they're missing. But see, you know, and admittedly, Kevin Durant, if he's on the court, and he does miss, you know, on average, he misses about 24 games a year. That's a lot. That's a lot of time missed. That's 30% of the season he's missing. That's a lot of time to miss. And who knows if he'll be ready at the end of the year. It's not going to be too Scooby-Doo if we get to the postseason and he's hurt and can't play. None of it matters because right now you're playing for championships. But With that said, a healthy Kevin Durant helps you in the fourth quarter. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
There's no way around that.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. If you guys got thoughts on this, you're more than welcome to bring it here. 713-780-3776. No Dell today. Is it his birthday?
No, he had to take his dad to a doctor's appointment.
Oh.
Yeah, his dad's in town. And
oh, he's being a good person? I hate that.
Well, he's just forced into it.
Yeah, I just hate that Dell
He's forced into doing something that a son should do.
I wanted
he's
it
not
to
a
be
good
some...
person.
Yeah, no, he was forced by his dad. There's no question. No. I hate, but he's doing something that's nice for somebody.
I wonder if his dad and Dell are listening in the car right now.
Probably, but I hate that. I wish it was something really like he was playing a video game. And
so Dell would never play us in the car for his dad. There's no chance.
No.
0% chance.
All right. I want to talk about we got a ride. Lance and I are driving up together to the Golden Nugget Lake Charles on Sunday. Sunday we are going. We're going to be playing poker that night. Going to be doing the show Monday and Tuesday morning. Going to be playing golf. Going to be playing blackjack. Going to be playing slots.
I may bring my clubs, as a matter of fact.
You're bringing your clubs?
Yeah.
I'll bring mine.
I
got to
see how my right shoulder's doing. But, yeah, I may bring my clubs this time.
Well, I mean, and have you played that course before?
No.
It's really nice. Really good. So it's all set up, man. Want you to come. And if you come with your clubs, you can join me and Lance playing. Okay? Let's go. I love Golden Nugget Lake Charles. When you're only a couple hours away from all that gambling, with the DraftKings Sportsbook, from all the concerts, from the nightclub, the restaurants, the hotel, the casino, the poker room, the pool, everything. You're just 2 hours away? Are you kidding me? As opposed to going all the way to Las Vegas, where right now it's 1,000 degrees too, by the way. You're looking for, I think, the best way to get your gamble on. It's GoldenNuggetLC.com. Love the GoldenNuggetLC.com. Love what they do. Love how big it is. Love how great it is. GoldenNuggetLC.com. Make your reservation today. Come join us on Monday and Tuesday.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you can. You are more than welcome. AJ, let us know if we got anybody on hold.
Yeah, we got somebody right now.
Oh, we do? Who's on hold?
Biscuit.
Who is?
Biscuit.
Oh, Biscuit's on hold. Let's get Biscuit in here. Hey, Biscuit, what up?
What's up, my brother?
How we doing?
Hey, man, living a dream, baby. Hey, John, I couldn't disagree with you more, man. You know, man, stay the course. The Rockets are right there, man. What, you thought they was going to get in the playoffs this year and go to the finals? I mean, they're taking steps. They got a young, good – they got talent. They just didn't have experience. Who's to say one of these guys can't become a star? Go ask the Clippers what they like to do that trade again, Paul George for SGA. You stay the course, man. And in my opinion, this is my opinion, the league is in – right now in the midst of turning over. So LeBron, Steph, KD, they're on the down. So it's up and coming. Look at Indiana. Who's starting Indiana? You got it. Man, you just need a good team. You got the coach. Throw them first couple years out to Jalen them play. These last 2 years is when they actually had a coach and they learned some things and they're doing some things. I don't know if Thompson can become the star.
Hold on. Biscuit, I'm saying keep the core together. What are you talking about? I don't want to give up this whole team for Giannis.
I don't want to do that. Yeah, he's just saying. Do you want them to trade for Kevin Durant?
You're a piece. You need another piece, though, Biscuit. You watch this team. Listen, Indiana's there. You know why? And big reason that they're there. They went out and got Siakam. I mean, Siakam has been a huge addition to that team. It's not just the young core. By the way, they traded for Halliburton too. I mean, you got to make some. They got the Rockets need to make some moves. They need to get better. They need to get better offensively. They're not there. They're not. They. Well, but listen, the core is there. The core is there.
They might. No, there is a chance. Yeah, I mean, there is a chance, John. They're young. Like, you know, Tyrese Halliburton is getting better as we speak, becoming a certain type of player as we speak. The problem is, I just don't know that Jalen is. I don't know that Jalen is wired that way.
I want to know after you've watched Jalen. After you've watched Jalen for these 3 years, Biscuit, is he Halliburton?
But he's he's asking about Amen Thompson, though. My only concern with Thompson is
you're not getting rid of Amen Thompson.
No. Could Thompson be the dude? Could he be a superstar? He's asking.
He's got a long way to go offensively.
Yeah, that's my only concern. Is you still have to? I love what he does defensively,
man,
but
okay,
yeah.
But he got the want to. Jalen issue is a want to, and I don't know why Jalen always gets picked on. I don't know why anybody talking about Jabari not living up to expectation. He was drafted high too. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why. To me, you put too much on Jalen. Get the ball out of his hands. Make him be the scorer. They turn him in after trying to be the scorer and the passer. That's not his game. Get the ball out of his hand. Now, you said, I do agree you need a ball handler to get Jalen into the scoring role. And I think you need another big to go with Sangoon as far as helping him on the other end of the floor. But I'm staying the course, man.
Yeah, I think the argument is a valid argument. I just don't know that I don't know that I'm fully in on it. I think the Rockets could end up winning with what they have. They could, but they may not. I mean, it's a calculated risk to make a decision. You have to project, and it's not easy. You could end up – I can tell you this. If you think you're getting Kevin Durant, everyone talks about what's easier to get Kevin Durant. Well, you still have to make some salaries line up. So, for sure, Kevin Durant's spot is $51 million this year. For sure. Dylan Brooks is gone 100% because you got to have his $22 million just to even start the conversation. John, who's on the roster? I keep hearing this. He's not going to cost you a whole lot. Well, you still have to financially make it work. Steven Adams' number is already gone. Are you going to add Jabari Smith? We're going to move Dylan Brooks and Jabari Smith for Kevin Durant. That would be stupid. No, listen. And even if you get a third party involved, you're still going to have to add enough salary to make it work, and you've lost Steven Adams $12.6 million. Holiday's gone at $4.6 million. Jayshon Tate's done at $7.5 million. Jeff Green's done at $8 million. You've lost that. Jack Lawndale would obviously have to be part of it too. But I don't know how you're going to make these things work financially.
Yeah, well, I don't know either. That's what their numbers guy is for. That's what their financial guy is for. I don't know how you're going to make it work. But I do know you're going to have to give up a little bit, but you're going to keep the core together. Standing pat right now is not going to get this done. I mean, just another year older is not going to get this done. They're not good enough offensively. They're just not. I mean, they are not a threat to win the Western Conference with this group. With standing pat. Now, I think the core is good enough, but you've got to make an addition. You need instant offense. You need somebody. How many times did we see this team blow a lead in the fourth quarter because they just went into the tank offensively and couldn't get anything done? They have got to have a guy who can stem the tide, stop the flow, get a big basket when they need it. Who's the go-to guy at the end of the game? You know, all of these teams have somebody that all of these teams. The Knicks have Brunson. Indiana has Halliburton. Shea, and he wasn't great. Anthony Edwards wasn't great at the end, but they know who they're going. Who's the Rockets' go-to guy?
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. But the argument is, so Alperen Şengün is always going to be a really good player. I just don't think he can be – the league is not run through the low post, so I don't know how a big man – very few – I don't know – while Alperen has some baby joker stuff we've talked about, until or unless he becomes a more potent three-point shooter and a more consistent finisher off the dribble from the low post when he makes his moves down low, there's some improvement that still needs to be had. Who are the bigs who dominate the game at the end of the game? It's not a big man league. And don't tell me about Joker. This is one of the greatest players that's ever played the game in history. So we're not going to use him. That's stupid. He's a one-off. I don't know where it comes from. Like, everybody, you mentioned him, John, everyone you're talking about are wings or points.
Yep.
It's coming from prime. And it's coming from secondary primary ball handlers.
And Jalen ain't that guy.
Yeah, the argument you're going to make is, can you gang up and make it a gang effort like the Pistons did back in the days? And I'm talking about Pistons with Tayshaun Prince and, you know, Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups. But even then, yeah, Chauncey was considered a clutch player. You had the perfect amalgamation of players. You had Ben, what's his name, the shot blocker down in the low post, and although he was like 6'9", you had the defensive player of the year, Ben, I can't remember his last name, and Rasheed Wallace and Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah,
you had a perfect combination of players, and basketball was down at that time. Basketball's not down right now. The Western Conference is up. If anything, it's harder than ever to try to win in the West. And that's my concern is, can Jalen play any worse than he did with Golden State? Probably not. But I heard that they put the Jordan rules on him. So I guess everyone's going to put the Jordan rules on Jalen. You know, you got to stop Jalen. I think Jalen probably would play better next year. But I don't know that I'm going to take that chance.
I'm telling you, we've seen the way to win. You shut down their primary scorer. You shut down their two guard. Shut down Anthony Edwards. Shut down Jalen Brunson. He's more or less their two guard. Shut down Jalen Green. And when you have those games where you shut down Tyrese Haliburton in game whatever it was that the Knicks won in New York, game five or whatever. I think it was game five. Haliburton didn't exist. He took three shots in the first half. Guess what? They got their ass kicked. I mean, Jalen ain't that. Jalen's just not. I mean, we're talking about guys that are stars in this league that are carrying their teams into the Western and Eastern Conference Finals. Jalen ain't that guy.
God, I'm looking at this on the NBA trade machine. This is almost impossible to add Kevin Durant. I mean, you're going to have to add. I've got Dylan Brooks, Jock Landale, Cam Whitmore, David Roddy, and it's not even close because the Rockets used a non-taxpayer mid-level exception or non-taxpayer biannual exception to sign a free agent, and therefore their owed tax cannot exceed $6 million at any time during the season. Cut $15 million from the Rockets' incoming trade value, which is Kevin Durant. I don't know how you do it. I mean, you obviously have to get a third team involved, but even if you added Kevin Durant, like, just the financials of matching salary is so – I don't even – like, it's not one of these things where you can just shuffle money around. They only have a certain amount of players who make a certain amount of money, and it's not like, – I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to do it if they decide to do it, because $51 million – is a ton of money, and you have some salary tax, some payroll tax implications, salary tax implications that could come into play for the Rockets. So that's a concern.
Yeah. All right, we got a break. You, my friend, need to talk about Zadik Jewelers.
Well, and Zadik Jewelers is, I mean, Zadik has been doing an amazing job, not behind the scenes, right there at the forefront. I mean, Zadik does a great job of finding the perfect gift for her, for him. I don't care who it's for. I mean, they've got jewelry that's amazing. They've got men's wedding rings. They've got women's, obviously, diamond engagement rings. Let me tell you about their second story. It's a 28,000 square foot facility, so it's huge. And their second floor is dedicated to the bridal process. It's dedicated to giving you an area to go and shop for the perfect ring, perfect settings, the perfect cut of diamond. They will, the perfect clarity. There's a lot to learn about the diamonds. They can educate you on that. But finding out what the hottest settings are and what looks really great, what is a timeless type of setting. You want something that's more, you know, hot right now and current now. You want something that's timeless. These are all questions that may come up. Ask the experts at Zadik Jewelers and they'll have the answers for you. They do an incredible job of making you feel at ease during the purchase process, if that's what you are ready to do. And they'll make that special day absolutely as good as you can possibly imagine. There's so much more than just a location to buy a ring. Go to the second floor. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Zadig Jewelers, if you plan on getting engaged this summer, next fall, Christmas, you want to get it done, you want to start looking at things right now, I promise you Zadig is going to make you very happy that you made the trip to 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, Zadig.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Let's talk a little Astros after they win 3-0. That's a big win. When you've got Lance McCullers, who hasn't won since 2022, going against Paul Skeens. And I want to tell you, he was pitch for pitch. When he left the game, Lance had 7 strikeouts and Skeens had 4. And Lance, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk, just a couple of hits given up. I mean, he was fantastic. Now, Pittsburgh's offense blows. It just blows. It's terrible. There's no question about that. Paul Skeens has a 205. And he's 4-6 on the season. He gets no run support. He's Nolan Ryan or Roger Clemens when he was here. Those guys got no run support. Best pitchers in the game and no run support. And that's what Paul Skeens has got going on right now.
Well, ESPN, you know, Lance McCullers dealt. And you can understand this. Paul Skeens is one of the biggest names in sports. But they led off with Better Call Paul. And their whole thing was on Paul Skeens. When the fact was, Paul Skeens was fantastic. But he made one mistake, and Christian blasted it out of the park. And Lance McCullers made no mistakes. Right. I mean, Lance was fantastic and not walking people either.
Yeah, well, that park helped a little bit because McCutchen sent one to the wall that would have been out in 24 different parks, and it wasn't out in Pittsburgh. And Jacob Melton, he was busy last night. First time he played left field. I don't think he got many starts in left field at Sugarland. He was in left field last night, and he did a nice job. He had a lot of action out there last night.
John Dasma texted me last night and said, I'm for Cam Smith in right, Melton in left, Altuve full-time at second, and Jake in center, and let's just go. Let's just run it. Yep. Let's run the cards. And a DH, we'll have Yordan at DH when he comes back. I still think they're going to want to play Caratini. They're going to try to find a way to get Caratini's bat in there. I don't think Melton's going to be a full-time. But remember, Melton was an early pick a few years back, so he is one of the guys that they hope comes up and becomes a legitimate player.
Well, when they brought Verlander back, he thought they were going to have to trade Melton for him, and it was a big worry. They wanted to hold on to Melton, and they didn't have to do that. Shea Whitcomb is up now, though. So Shea Whitcomb, who was destroying it at Sugarland, is going to be here, and we'll see if Jake Melton's at bats might, or I don't know what they're going to do. If Melton maybe gives Jake a rest, maybe gives Cam Smith a rest. Shea Whitcomb is here. We'll see where he plays because you don't bring him up unless, because the dude, you want him to get as many at bats as he possibly can. It's so hard if you come up from the minor leagues to just sit there and get occasional or pinch hit at bats. So I would imagine he's going to throw him out there. I agreed with it. How about Jacob Melton? His first game was against Bassard. I forget what is the pitcher for Tampa, really good. Anyway, he had him, and then he had Paul Skeens in his second. So he's had a rough time of it so far. And God bless, he got a hit. In his first game, because last night you're facing Paul Skeens in your second ever big league game. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. But Shea Whitcomb, it'll be interesting to see what Joe does with this now, because he's got a lot of. You got Cam Smith, you got to play him. You got Whitcomb, you got to play him. What are you going to do with Mauricio Dubon? What are you going to do with Jacob Melton? Is Jake going to sit? Is he going to sit more regularly now, or is he going to be out there every day? It's an interesting deal because Isak, are you going to sit Altuve? Are you not going to have he loves catching. Oh, by the way, two huge caught stealings last night. Huge. Sixth inning, he gets on and it throws him out. And then O'Neill Cruz slides past the base. And that's a caught stealing because he was in there safe, but he slid past the base and Altuve put it on him.
No,
after Altuve dropped the throw, he put the tag on him and got him caught stealing.
Yeah, and that's a guy who's not really much of a caught stealing guy.
No.
It's Caratini.
No. Caratini,
I mean, he's been atrocious, frankly. He had
had
one caught stealing before yesterday, unless there was one I missed.
No, and in the 1-0 game against Tampa, they had a late caught stealing as well, but that was Yiner.
That was Yiner got it.
Yiner threw him out. So, I mean, you want to talk about huge, as opposed to, you know, runner on second, one out, you got nobody on and two outs in both instances. So that was just huge, throwing those two guys out. And give Caratini credit. Although the second one, O'Neill Cruz overslid the base.
I'll take it anyway. Yep. Any way you can get it.
And Isaac Paredes coming up with a big hit after being 1 for 26. One for his previous 26.
Yeah, he had, you know, so it was 30. It was 30 and 1, 30 stolen bases, the one caught stealing, and now it's 30-3.
Yep.
With those two.
And that's still not good.
Well, no, that's terrible, but
yep.
It is what it is.
Yep. And, well, thank goodness they weren't curveballs because you're not going to – and especially, I mean, guys are not holding guys on.
Yeah, I wonder with the Astros – no, well, you know, the rules change. You only get two throws over.
That's all right.
And so that, you know, really puts you in a pickle if you use both of those throws. And the Astros have notoriously been, you know, a heavy curveball-based team since Strom started that run or – whoever it was that decided to do that, and it's been, you know, it's caught on around Major League Baseball, but it does make it harder when you got slow deliveries to the plate, which the Astros have a few guys who are like that. When you're not holding runners on very effectively, or you know, it's kind of been taken away. Major League Baseball wanted stolen base back in the game, and it is back in the game. And I think part of that is you can only throw over twice. It definitely helps. It definitely helps. And maybe some other teams have decided, you know, to kind of the it's a cyclical game. And they probably said, you know what, we can't hit for power. Other teams probably made the assumption we don't hit for as much power as some other teams. Let's run. Let's get guys who can run. Let's manufacture runs that way. The Astros went to Crush City originally back in 2015 because they had a bunch of strikeout guys. And so they said, let's just hit a bunch of home runs in. We'll try to hit, and we're not going to put the bat on the ball like we want to from an analytics sabermetric standpoint. So let's just hit a bunch of home runs, and if we strike out, at least we're hitting home runs. But they know that's not a long-term solution. But I've always believed that the stolen base, you know, analytics people hate the stolen base. They just think it's not worth, you know. Now, if you do it like Daryl Morey hated the mid-range unless it was done at a high percentage. Like he would always tell me, If you make it at a certain percentage, I think it was 54%, 56%, he said, if you can make your mid-range at a certain percent, we love it. Like CP3, you have to be really good at it. If not, it doesn't make sense to shoot a mid-range and not take a three. Well, I would maybe argue that maybe I think missed threes can turn into an avalanche on you and can take away the flow of an offense. That's a separate argument to have. But when it comes to baseball, the argument has always been, from a sabermetric standpoint and a money ball standpoint, put bat on ball. Put bat on ball. And the Astros were Crush City, struck out a ton, but hit a bunch of home runs. But the entire time, Jeff Luhnow understood, eventually we're going to get back to hard to strike us out. And that's where they got. But I can see the stolen base coming back into baseball even more so in future years, as teams say, you know what, these catchers aren't throwing us out at a very good rate. We've got, you can only try to pick us off twice. More and more pitchers are throwing, you know, curveballs and off speed pitches. So we've got a little bit of a jump we can get. I can see the stolen base becoming, and I liked it. I can tell you now, like I was a big Cesar Cedeno fan growing up. He was my favorite player. But I would love watching Ricky Henderson, Vince Coleman, all these guys that could thieve bases. Ichiro was great at stealing bases. Altuve was a great base stealer for a while.
Yep.
So I like that that's become part of baseball again. Look at Tampa Bay, the havoc that they were wreaking on the base paths against the Astros. Like, it matters if you got a team that can steal some bases. And I'd like to see the Astros eventually become a team that runs a little more.
How about Altuve at his age leads the league in infield hits? He's got 14 infield hits now.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yesterday was just – he just outran it. It was – I mean, he's still incredible.
Well, what about Jeremy Peña, who's one of the four fastest players in the league in terms of his feet per second? They had that chart up there the other day. He runs almost 30 feet per second. Beat out the infield single, and he was flying. Beat out the ground ball to second, which I love him taking the ball that way. And then what happens the very next at bat? Bang! Paredes turns and mashes it.
Yep. So, So let's leave Altuve at second base. Can we just do that? Can we just stop?
Yeah,
this?
Hasn't been atrocious in left, but he's had his moments where. If the ball's up, he's not going to jump up and catch it.
Leave him there. Leave him at second. Let's go. Stop already with this madness, this left field madness. Leave Jose Altuve at second base.
Leave him alone.
You're the sorry people if you move him to left field. All right. Time to talk about hoops. We've been talking baskets. We got to talk about Pro Dunk. We got to talk about Pro Dunk Hoops, which is it's in the name. Your kids want to dunk, Dad. They don't – the 10-foot goal, it's awful, okay? The kids want you to lower it. They want to enjoy it. They want to have fun. Your wife wants it to look good, okay? Don't go to the box store and buy one of these where you put the sand in the base. It's terrible. It's cheap. It's ugly. Your kids deserve better. Your kids deserve the Pro Dunk goal. Your kids not only deserve it, but they're actually going to enjoy it. They're actually going to use it. There's a lot of goals out there. You look at it, the rim is bent. The backboard is, needs painting. It's all chipping away. You think kids are going to be playing on? No, they're not playing on that. They want to lower it. They want to dunk. They want to get their shooting touch. Let the kids have fun, Dad. Get them a smaller ball so that they can actually use it. The little kids love the Pro Dunk goal because they can dunk. They can hang on it. Go to the website and see. All the pictures of kids hanging on there. Can't break it. It's the best goal you'll ever have. Everybody will love it. If you're buying a goal for your kids, ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Art says it is Dell's birthday. But today is Dell's birthday.
Are we sure?
I don't know, but because it's the same birthday as David Gauss.
You don't check your email ever, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no, I do, and I didn't see one from Esme. And Esme always puts out a happy birthday, David Gow. Because,
we don't see David as much anymore.
We don't see him at all.
Probably haven't seen him for a year. I saw him. I came and did a draft show with him on his show.
I did, too. I went in studio, and I saw him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After the draft. Actually, it was the day after the draft. Or no. The Monday after the draft, right? I was in studio with him. I've seen him more recently than you. Okay, so but I didn't.
What are you talking about? I was up here every week. He had to do the boss and the gloss every Monday.
All I know
would see
is,
him all the time. Stop it.
You don't see him. All I know is
you could do something with Marcellus Wiley again. Okay.
AJ,
did you know he and Marcellus Wiley play pickleball together?
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cool.
We have not done that, actually.
Yet.
He's invited me, but I haven't gone yet.
I remember when he was on ESPN.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then Marcellus Fox, and then he keeps
He is a really good guy.
How do you know?
Because I've been out with him.
How much time have you spent with him to know he's a good guy?
I spent a couple of times with him.
You don't know if he's a good guy yet.
I think he's a great guy.
Let's check. Why is he always fighting with people on social media?
Because
why is
people
he,
on social
oh,
media
he and Ryan
are stupid.
Clark have a bad fight.
Because people
you know
on
that,
social
right?
media
he and Ryan Clark have a nasty
oh, dude,
thing.
I asked him about Ryan
you
Clark.
You did?
Yeah. He was like, oh, I can't even say what he said.
No, I would think twice, yeah.
Yeah. No, I ain't saying. I ain't getting in the middle of that. I tell you this, though. There is no love lost between those two. There is no love lost between those two.
No. No,
all right, let's
not.
Hey, AJ, we got sound. All right. We talked about D'Amico. D'Amico talking about CJ not throwing. That's a story, obviously. Lance and I went over it. For those of you who weren't here, we're not worried. He's not worried. We're not worried. He's not worried about anything. Let's talk about the offensive line. Because I've been watching the tape of the OTAs, and it looks like some good things are going on. It looks like, I mean, it's a weird configuration of guys that they have out there. Jake Andrews is getting a lot of looks. Cam Robinson is actually, they look like you're picking up different stuff and stunts that's being run. I know it's against your own team and all that blah, blah, blah. But, you know, at the very least, at least it looks better because the offensive line was confused last year. Here's D'Amico talking about the offensive line and the changes this offseason.
Our offensive line, the mindset, I see it drastically changing. I see Coach Cole Popovitz, his instant impact on those guys, you can see it from the way they work in their individual drills, the way they come off the line with low pass. It's just the small technique things that you see, how they're dialed in on their hand placement, just speaking the same language. One of the coolest things I've seen when we were working out in phase two, we work out, we activate our guys here in the bubble, and we all travel outside to do our different drills. And to see the O-line come out and whoever was out first, they waited on the other guys. And they waited, they joined together as a group, and then they traveled down to the opposite end of the field to do their position work. So that just shows me that togetherness, that connection that I truly believe in. You want to be a great unit, mm-hmm. You have to be connected. So Cole has kind of spurred that connection, that intensity, the mentality that I'm looking for. And we have that. We have the intangibles of what it takes. Now we just got to go out and get it done when we put pads on.
Well, he just told you a lot. If you listen and you know and you put all the pieces together, to me, D'Amico just told you a lot.
Well, he told you a lot about Strasser last year.
Yeah, and about the players that he had in the locker room. And the way he talked about at the end, the together, that may seem like a small thing. D'Amico wants this as one heartbeat. Mm-hmm. He wants everyone all in, and he made a point of mentioning that. The little thing about all gathering together as a unit, he points that out before they go out. That's what I want. He's saying that's what he wants. When we were at the combine, he made a point of saying he's not getting what he wants, basically. He wants it a certain way, and he was saying that's what they need to have. He's just telling you he's getting what he wants now. Some of that, and y'all didn't have to believe us if you want, but I don't think most of y'all thought we were lying. They weren't happy with D'Amico. They weren't happy with Laramie Tunsil. They're happy with the football player to an extent, but he was an independent contractor. He's just not all in. And he's got a lot of friends in the media who will tell you, you know, who will be very protective of him. But the reality is people in the building will tell you he was not all in. He wasn't a great leader. He wasn't even a good leader. He was there for himself. Did guys like him? Yeah, guys liked him. Was he a leader? Was he one of the first in, last out type guys? No. D'Amico wants dogs, and things have changed, and it is what it is. But did you also hear him? He made a point. Now, most coaches won't make a point of overdoing anything in OTAs. It's just OTAs. D'Amico made a point, John, of telling you, I'm seeing this get done. This is getting done. Like, D'Amico was very positive. He shouted out his coach. He shouted out players that he saw, you know, making change. We don't have his sound for Ariante Ursary, or maybe we do. But he was very positive about Ursary and Blake Fisher, about, you know, and like I said, a lot of coaches will not put too much into OTAs at all. But I think D'Amico wants things to get better. He wants things to improve. And I think he's genuinely excited about some of the things that he sees this year versus what he saw the last 2 years with his offensive line. It doesn't mean things are fixed, but I don't discount his excitement level and all the things that we could glean from that soundbite if you knew or if you have an idea of what it is that D'Amico Ryans wants for the offensive line. They're not done building it, but I think the attitude is where he wants it. I think the attitude and the young guys are now stepping up, and I think D'Amico, what he said there to me was a big deal.
Listen, sometimes you've got addition by subtraction. Sometimes, you know, you don't have to have the best players if they work together. You know, now you're going to have some one-on-ones where Cam Robinson just isn't as good. He's just not as good as Laramie Tunsil is. Yeah, and you're going to have we can't expect that. But if they work together better as a team, mm-hmm. and if Nick Caley realizes that and he's got to keep somebody in to chip to make sure that CJ is upright, it couldn't have been worse than it was last year. They were the worst team protecting a quarterback. CJ, he regressed. All of those things led to Slowick and Strasser gone. Beat it. Because it's not good enough. These two guys, we don't know. Nick Caley hasn't called a play in the NFL. We don't know. We don't know how good he's going to be. Cole Popovich, this is his first time, although he did work under Dante Scarnecchia in New England, and so hopefully he learned a lot of stuff and brings that to the Texans. But, and, you know, you got rid of one of the better left tackles in the NFL. And are you supposed to be better then? Maybe they will be better with a different attitude, with working better together, with better coaching. Maybe this is going to be better. But you know what? To me, it has to be. The entire season depends on that O-line.
You said a comment that is really rings true, and that's one guy can be a really good player. This is why I hated what they gave up for Laramie Tunsil. One guy doesn't fix pass protection. Ever. We got to get the left tackle. Yes. But the pass protection was an issue beyond left tackle. One guy never fixes pass protection. Pass protection is a unit-based thing, and that includes running backs and tight ends and quarterbacks. All three of them are included in this. And offensive coordinators, understanding what can and can't be done. And because he needs to work on the same page with the offensive line coach. And so, yes, you're not going to be as good at left tackle. Snap by snap, you're not as good. But you might be better as a unit. You might have better camaraderie in there. You might have guys working together more. Like that there can be an aggregate improvement based on all the things that we're talking about relative to just one player playing better at left tackle. No, you need more. I will take a downgrade at left tackle if it means an upgrade at guard, center, guard tackle. 100%. Well, we'll see if we get that.
We'll see.
I'm willing to give it a shot. I think it's going to be – I want it to be average. If you can get it to average this year and then work on the line again next year in the draft, that's good to me. I just want it to be average. I'm not asking for too much.
If it takes a tight end staying in, if it takes your running back staying in, if it's just three guys in a route, that's fine. Keep CJ safe. That's the most important thing this season. All right, you got to talk. John Daspit was texting you during the Astros game last night?
Yeah. He was like, he said the first thing he texted was something about Lance McCullers dealing. And, he's a big sports guy. He listens to our show. He watches all the sporting events. He's from here. He went to school at University of Texas, University of Houston. He's been involved in the NIL for both teams, goes to basketball games at Houston, goes to football games and basketball games at University of Texas, but has a home out there in Austin, has one here in Houston. But or in Richmond, actually, my hood. But he also spends a ton of time at the office and working remotely. John Daspit's not one of these lawyers that puts his name on something and has all the other lawyers do the work. John is really busy all the time, working on cases because he wants to make sure that all of his clients get the best care from the lawyers or including himself, because that's what you deserve. When you need someone to fight for you against insurance companies who are looking to squeeze you when you've been injured and on the job or out on the roadway or wherever the case may be, John Daspit understands it's his job to passionately pursue justice for the injured, and that's what he does. Is he a sports fan? Huge. Is he a fan of taking care of people throughout the state of Texas? 100%. He does them both. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.